Jesus is alive. Yeah, right. I'm not sure I believe that. And if that's what you think, you're in good company. Because that's what Jesus' own followers, his closest friends, his disciples thought too. Jesus is alive. Sure. Okay. Well, where is he then? Hi, I'm Stuart Cutler and I get to be the minister here at St Ninian's Church in Stonehouse. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you find yourself. We're so glad that you are with us and want to explore what happened after Easter and why it matters. Today, I'm joined by Norma, who will lead our prayers later, but first let's listen to our scripture.
Luke chapter 24, verses 35 to 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name at all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." Acts chapter 3, verses 12 to 19. When Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "You Israelites, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name. His name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given him this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and return to God, so that your sins may be wiped out.
The first time Jesus appears to anyone in Luke's version of the story is on the road to Emmaus. Two of his followers, Cleopas and his friend, don't recognise Jesus as he walks along with them. But when he breaks bread, they see that it is Jesus. And then he's gone. They rush back to Jerusalem to tell the others. But can you imagine hearing that story? We were just walking along and this stranger appeared and we started telling him all about what happened to Jesus and he talked to us about the scriptures. When we got to our home, he was going further. But it was almost dark, so we invited him in for a meal. When he broke the bread, it was Jesus. So where is he then? Well, he vanished. And that's where the story falls apart, isn't it? You can just imagine the prosecutor in the courtroom turning and smiling at the jury. He just vanished. No further questions, Your Honour. That's the context for our story today. A sketchy story about meeting a stranger who turned out to be Jesus and who vanished as soon as they recognised him. The disciples are still in the upper room, wondering what on earth to do and what to make of Cleopas' story and Jesus appears. He's right there, all of a sudden in the midst of them. "Peace be with you," says Jesus. And they're terrified, scared out of their minds, and who wouldn't be? Peace. Peace be with you. The Hebrew word is shalom. As with most words like this, shalom means much more than peace be with you. Shalom means peace and harmony and wholeness, completeness. Shalom means reconciliation with God. What greeting could be more appropriate in these circumstances? All that denial and betrayal, all the hurt and guilt and loss and shame, all of it put aside. Shalom. I was listening to a podcast from Kerry Newhoff, and the topic was how we change our minds. Adam Grant was his guest. Adam teaches at Harvard. He's an organisational psychologist and a writer. And as part of the conversation, he asked Kerry about his preaching style. Because there's an assumption that's kind of baked into preaching, that most of the people listening to a sermon like this one already believe in Jesus. I'm not really trying to change anyone's mind. It's more about explaining and opening up something new. Or is it? It turned into a great conversation as they explored together the ways in which we all have things that we believe and things that we don't. And of course, we all have things that we try hard to believe but really struggle with. And in our world of fake news and conspiracy theories, they talked about how you can engage with people who hold problematic views despite all the evidence to the contrary. One of Kerry's preaching tips was always to try to anticipate the objection. So when he's writing his sermon, he'll be thinking about people who'll be thinking, "Well, sure, like that really happened," or, "But that's not what I've been told that means." He's noticed that when you make a point that raises some kind of question, people get stuck there with their question. They don't hear the next bit. Kerry's found that even just acknowledging those questions as they arise helps people not to get stuck there, but to follow on to what comes next, because what's next is often the answer to the question that people don't hear because they're stuck. He'll say, "Sure, I know what you're thinking, but go with me on this because there's something helpful coming along in just a minute." Or, as Jesus says, "Why are you troubled? Why did doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones as you see that I've got." Don't get stuck at this bit. It's one of the biggest questions about the resurrection, isn't it? What is Jesus like? Is he a ghost? Is he flesh and blood? Is he... Well, this is one of those stories. It's an account of what happened, but also an encouragement for all those who were not in the room, like you and me. Luke wants to answer the question that we get stuck with. And this is a question that perplexed the disciples, the early church, and it's a question that we're still puzzled by. What was the risen Jesus really like? Luke answers the question, flesh and blood. See, he even eats. Ghosts don't do that. And that should be enough. But we still puzzle over things like whether Jesus has wounds or scars or was completely healed. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around something so unusual. But when we get stuck, we miss the next part. And the next part is really important. Really, really important. Jesus wants to listen to their questions and to explain what's happened. But more than that, he puts it all in a much greater context. Understanding all of this stuff is important. He takes them through the scriptures and points to all the things that they've heard before, but this time he helps them to connect them all together, to see where the story's been heading, to realise that the conclusion, the Messiah, is sitting there among them. He helps them to rethink. And then he tells them this. This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. The story isn't over. This isn't the final chapter. It's not enough that the Messiah has suffered and has risen from the dead. There's more. So much more. I mentioned the podcast I was listening to about changing minds. That's what repentance means. To think again. To change your understanding. To have a different point of view. Repentance is important. Because this all sounds like too much, doesn't it? A dead man who's alive. That just doesn't happen. But resurrection is more than resuscitation. This is a story where that flesh and bone reality is at the centre of everything. And that matters. But Jesus is also more than that. He's God's only son, fully human and fully divine. The big question for us, I think, is what does it mean to live in a world where resurrection is a reality? To get our heads around that, we're going to have to do a lot of rethinking. Just like those disciples did. Perhaps one way to help us to understand is to see what happens to the disciples next, because the reality of resurrection is as much about us as it is about Jesus. Luke was so interested in what happened next. He wrote a book all about it. Acts. The Acts of the Apostles. The sequel, part 2. The what happened next. In chapter 3 of Acts, just weeks after this encounter with Jesus, Peter and John healed a man. And alright, people didn't believe it either. They couldn't understand how this had happened. How could two fishermen from Galilee heal a man who had been unable to walk for his whole life? Peter tells them, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It's Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There it is, witnessing, telling the truth about what's happened, preaching the forgiveness of sins for everyone, helping people to rethink, to repent. When people hear that resurrection is real, it allows them to see things in a new way, to rethink, to leave behind some of the stuff that they've been carrying for far too long, to step into a new world, where guilt and shame and regret and fear don't hold sway and don't have the last word. That's why resurrection matters. It matters to you and to me. It matters because it changes us. It matters because it changes everything.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, we marvel at the makeup of our frail human bodies, entering the world as tiny helpless babes and growing slowly over the years, developing and changing in so many ways, prone to illness and easily damaged, yet resilient and quick to heal, given the right treatments. Jesus had a human life. We know exactly what it feels like to be hungry, to suffer pain, to laugh and feel joy. Through his life, his death and his resurrection, we see more clearly what it means to be human and what our role here on earth is. Lord, you have created people of every kind, and each one represents a part of you. You have made some to make new scientific discoveries, some to explore the world of academia, and some to govern, some to deal with business or finance, some to tend the poor and the sick, some to assist the bereaved and the lonely, some to care for the abused and the abuser, some to nurture children, some to guide the lost. For everything people need, you have created a person to fill that role. Thank you, Lord, for all the people you have created and for all they do to make our world a better place. Help us to be all we can be, all you have made us to be, to follow and serve wherever you lead. We ask these prayers in your name, and together we pray the words that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever. Amen.
May we go from here full of hope and joy. May we go from here knowing that through the resurrection we are forgiven and loved and free. We go in the name of God, known to us as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. We go in peace, we go in joy, we go in love.